What's up? Welcome to episode 303 of the PS4 Blockcast. I'm JCM. With this week is Messiah.
Hello.
And Izzy's out because he has a heater problem and it's winter where he's at, so, you know.
I'm freezing to death.
Yep. All his electronics are like, dying in the cold. But it'll be a short episode. Anyways, there wasn't a ton of news this week, and I have a hard out at 12, so I can't go past that, unfortunately. But again, luckily, it's pretty light week. There was hardly anything. It was all Black Friday deals and yada, yada. The big things were, for new releases, we had Darksiders 3. Let's see, what else did we have? Oh, come on, store. Let's see. I know Darksiders 3. I feel like there's some small things. A Beat Saber came out this week. I believe it was this week. Or maybe it was late last week on Friday. And then, yeah, I think that was... Wait. Did Darksiders 3? Hold on. The way the store is set up, it's like it's really throwing me off.
I saw a lot of Darksiders unboxing videos the last like week or so.
Yeah, and there are some reviews. Yeah, I believe it came out this week. I can't. It's not really showing up in the in this list. I wish like when it showed the games, it would show the release date on the game. So if I could like just browse, I can see it. Okay, so on 11/20. Okay, so that's. It's apparently an old game, Beat Saber. We also skipped last week's episode. We didn't do an episode because of the holidays, so that's why it feels like it's new, because we never talked about it. So Beat Saber did come out between last episode and this episode. And then Battlefield 5, of course, officially launched across all platforms, regardless of the version. If you just bought the normal one, that happened the week of Thanksgiving. So that is also new since we last recorded. Yeah, there's the Darksider 3 bundle that came out on the 26th. Okay, so it did come out. And then, yeah, and I believe also the 4s came out on PS4 the week of Thanksgiving. But, yeah, so those are new releases. There are also a lot of deals going on right now. There is a new flash sale with a lot of stuff. You can get the Game of the Year edition of the first Hitman for $15. But I believe if you buy Hitman 2, you get all the levels from the original Hitman in Hitman 2. Hollow Knight Void Heart Editions on sale. It's $10, down from $15. Let's see. There's a bunch of other ones. Let me look at them real quick. Bully, the PS2 classic, is on sale. L.A. Noire is 50% off. Assassin's Creed Ezio Collection, 70% off. Syndicate is 70% off. I think all the Assassin's Creeds are... 70% off, except Origins, perhaps. And then Unravel 2 is 60% off. The Order is 70% off. XCOM 2, War of the Chosen, 60%. Handsome Jack Collection is 75% off. Yeah, just a Divinity Original Sin Enhanced Edition, I believe, is like... I bought it, so I can't see the price, but I believe it's $8. So definitely pick that up. Yeah, I'm trying to see if there's any other big things. I still find it weird that EA does the Battlefield collections. They did this back when Battlefield 1 was out. Is when they first kind of introduced it, where it was like, oh, get the Battlefield anniversary bundle. It's Battlefield 1, Battlefield 4, and Battlefield Hardline. I'm like, that's kind of weird. I mean, that'd be like bundling, you know, three Call of Duties together. By the time usually a new game comes out in that franchise, the majority of the player base jumps to the new version. Mm-hmm. Maybe not right away, because it'd be like, oh, you know, like with Battlefield 4 or with 5, it's like, yeah, you know, it's got some issues. And then once they kind of roll out those first patches, then people really start to transition back to the newer game once it's up and running properly. Because, I mean, bundles like the Assassin's Creed bundles that they do, those make sense. It's like, oh, it's the Ezio Collection, or it's, you know, it's Syndicate and Unity and, you know, some other games. Like, okay, you know, with Black Flag, it's like, that makes sense. But it's always been weird, because it's not like they're known for their campaigns. And there are still people playing Battlefield 4. I don't know how much are playing on console, but like PC tends to have, usually on the older versions of a Battlefield game, will have the most of all platforms have the player base. But, and you can, luckily there's like, you know, battlefieldstats.com, and you can look up each game with all the active players and the peak players. So I like that that site exists. I wish that kind of information was much more easily available, like it is on Steam. Like, it'd be nice just to know, like, hey, I kind of want to go visit this old game. What's the player base? Because, like, for Last of Us, that's another one. It's like, people always ask, like, hey, I'm thinking about picking up Last of Us Remastered. How's the, is the online community still there? And typically people go, yeah, it's still active. Like, that's still an active game. But there's no hard number. Like, you can't look at it. I wish it would tell you. Because, what was the game? Like, all the Call of Duty games, at least, I don't know about all, but at least when I played, like, I think it happened in World at War, and maybe Modern Warfare 2. Maybe another game did it as well. I feel like another game besides Call of Duty did this. But when you were in the multiplayer menu, and then games like StarCraft do this, where in each game mode, like, you go, oh, I want to play multiplayer. Okay, Deathmatch. There's currently 27,000 people playing this mode. Team Deathmatch, there's 13,000 people playing this mode. You know, Domination, there's 12,000. So you can see how many people are actively playing each game type. And I always thought that was great. I was like, oh, that's cool. And like in StarCraft, it's like there's currently 25,000 people online. 5,000 of them are currently in a game. So you know, okay, about 5,000 people are playing this game right now. And you load into that game by region. So you know if you're on NA, you're going to be playing against NA players. So you don't have to worry about ping issues. But I always like that. I wish the consoles would have something like that so I could see, like, just how many people are actively playing. But, oh well. But yeah, you can go ahead and check it out. Tons of discounts right now. Some movie discounts as well. But, and then I was looking at the, what is it called? The game PlayStation Hits. I'm like, man, if people just, regardless of the sales that are always going on, like, they just hopped in and got a PS4 right now, it's like there's a ton of games on PlayStation Hits. Battlefield 4 being one of them is so weird, but like Metal Gear 5 the Definitive Edition Experience is $20. That's the PlayStation Hit. Yakuza 0, Yakuza Kiwami, Killzone Shadowfall, Doom, Infamous Second Son, Uncharted 4, Bloodborne, Last of Us, Ratchet and Clank, Batman Arkham Knight, Dying Light the Enhanced Edition, Mortal Kombat X, Dynasty Warriors, Until Dawn, Uncharted Nathan Drake Collection. It's like, man, it's so many games on there. But
yeah, seriously.
It's like, all right. Got a lot to play. But yeah, that's it for new releases in the deals. Again, there wasn't a lot of stuff. I'm trying to think back on, because we're a week away from the Game Awards. They're Friday, this coming Friday. And apparently there's going to be, I want to say, high teens of new game reveals. At least that's what Jeff Keighley, I think he said 17, 15 or 17. And I think they actually mean actual world premieres, and not, because they've had some Game Awards where it'll be like, maybe it wasn't Game Awards, but maybe it was like the E3 conference. But when it's like, I feel like I've seen too many trailers like, world premiere. And it's just the second trailer for a game that's already been announced. And I hate that, because world premiere to me always means, oh, it's the first time anybody's ever seen anything about this game ever.
Yeah.
But, or it's like a game that was announced that has no trailer yet, and this is the world premiere of that trailer. It's like, the world premiere of the third trailer. It's like, what?
Or like the world premiere Xbox. It's like, this is the first time you're seeing it at the Xbox conference.
Or whatever, right,
and it's
yeah,
like a slightly edited trailer. You're like, oh, okay. Like, they world premiered Kingdom Hearts 3 or something like that. It's like, okay.
Yeah, it's just ridiculous. But I'm looking forward to it. They have some odd presenters. Like, the Russo brothers are going to be there presenting something. Christoph Waltz is going to be presenting something. I assume he'll be presenting a performance award, in the same way Andy Serkis did a performance award for, I think that was at some other award, not the Game Awards. I think that was a different show. The one where I'm totally blanking. I keep wanting to say Josephine, but I'm blanking on her name. But the lady who did Hellblade, Senua, when she won, Andy Serkis presented the award, and she got it from him. But I don't think that was Game Awards. I think that was like a... it might have been Game Awards. I don't even remember. But... yeah, so earlier, so I'm like, I'm curious why what the Russo brothers are going to be presenting. There was a leak this week about a Superman game from Rocksteady, but they denied, said they're not working on a Superman game. They're not going to be showing anything at the Game Awards, I believe is what they said. But there's been Superman rumors from them for like ever, and they always seem to be not totally correct, but who knows. Then what else do we have coming up? Nothing crazy. I guess a Red Dead.
Fucking sales all month.
Yeah. We do have the Assassin's Creed Legacy, the first Blade DLC coming soon. That'll be this Tuesday.
Yeah, I keep forgetting about that.
And then they did patch in the mastery skills, right?
Yes, they did.
Now, what is... I didn't read up on it, but you seem super excited about it. So what are the mastery skills? Is it, you level it up even more?
Yeah, so basically you get... I think they give you all of the ability points that you should have or something like that, or maybe Michael had been storing them up. I can't remember. But they're basically a subset where you go into each... what was it? It's like you go into each armor.
Hunter, warrior, and assassin.
Oh, hunter, warrior, and assassin. They all have their own categories, and you go into it, and there's like all of these special skills, kind of like the modifiers you can get on your armor, mm-hmm. and you can level those up. So you could get like damage to predator shot for the hunter, or you could just up your hunter damage, and there's a level cap for each of them or something like that, and it gives you like a certain percentage for every stat in the game, pretty much.
Interesting. And those, and each of those cost a... Now, is it like you leveled up, but it applies to any armor set you're wearing, or just armor sets that have that stat?
No, anything. It's like your character stats, pretty much.
Okay, that's cool.
So you could like further spec whatever you're doing. So like Michael's build, he has like a big fire mace. So he's doing the skill for fire damage and like heavy blunt or whatever, or you could spec for hunter and stuff like that. So you could further customize your character with whatever you want, or you could just fully max them out if you're willing to get all of those experience points.
Nice. That's pretty cool. Yeah, because since you can respec whenever you want in that game, I definitely see doing that. And when I finally play the DLC and just getting rid of some of those skills that I don't ever use.
Yeah, it's definitely a good way to get people back into the game and like doing stuff, especially right before the DLC.
Yeah, so interesting. Good.
Oh yeah, they added the glamour system.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Basically, you can glamour whatever you want on each piece of gear. You can even do the weapons, I think.
Interesting. I feel like I'd never, like, once I had my set. Usually, the sets I always wanted for the stat purposes were sets I had also liked the way they looked, anyways. But
yeah,
there were some rare sets that. I don't know if I have the pieces anymore. I guess if they were whatever the highest tier was, because you can't break them down or sell them, I'll still have them on my boat.
Yeah.
I could check them. But yeah, because there were a couple pieces that were like, oh, I do really like how, you know, this, you know, lower body piece looks. It looks really awesome, but it's like too low level, and it didn't have stats I wanted, so I just kind of put it aside. But I could see maybe doing some glamour stuff. But yeah, I'll be looking forward to that. I won't be hopping in to the DLC right away, because I want to wait until the whole thing comes out. December will also see the release of the final Spider-Man DLC, which would be great, because then I can finally download all of them and play them all in one go.
Yeah.
Because I haven't played either of the first two sets. So I'll be looking forward to getting back into Spider-Man, because that'll be very fun. I've been tweaking around with my TV settings, like display settings and everything, and I'm the way it is now. I feel like it I can obviously tell a difference, because I made some pretty decent changes in the SDR range, but I didn't quite make them in the HDR. So I'm trying to, like, I want to play some stuff to feel like if I can balance it out and see, like, okay, how's this look? I booted up Fortnite just so I could play with that, and and be like, okay, let's adjust this to make it look a little different. But yeah, it was funny. I hopped into Tetris Effect again. You know, because I play that every now and then because that game's great. But they don't turn on HDR by default, which threw me off. So I thought the game had no HDR. And then I just happened to go into the settings, and I was like, unless they patched it in, but I went into the settings, and I was like, oh, let me adjust, because I had to adjust the brightness because of the settings I changed on my TV. And then I noticed I had HDR, and it was off. So I turned it on, and then I played around. I'm like, oh, my God, the HDR. I was like, now I can see why they have some of these other settings about line brightness. I'm like, I got to change those with the HDR on. That game just looks amazing. What else? I know there is some big patches coming to both Fallout 76 and Battlefield 5 next week. Fallout 76 apparently is going to be some capacity increases for, I guess, like materials, something like that, and some quality of life improvements, and I think some performance improvements. I know 76 continues to be dragged under the bus by the community because of problems. I saw the bag thing, and they're saying, oh, because they outsourced their customer service to a third party. So the third party answer people thought was the straight up Bethesda answer.
They're having some issues right now, so
yeah, I keep wanting to get back into it because I know obviously some people have some big problems with it, especially like games media, like the people who have to review it because they're obviously reviewed poorly. But there, I do hear podcasts where there's people play it, and it's like that No Man's Sky thing, where when No Man's Sky came out, like the Greg Millers and the, I'm totally blanking on the other guy's name, like they knew what they were going in for because they had played it so much, so they enjoyed it. But the people that expected more didn't, and I feel like and I've heard people for 76 who, like, they play it and they enjoy what they're playing. They can see the problems, and they understand why other people would be disappointed with the game, but they enjoy it because they like that kind of game. I want to get in there and play more of it now. That way, when it is patched down the line and it goes through like that A Realm Reborn or the Taken King kind of change, I want to like experience that change, like to see that improvement. I mean, that's always something I like. Like when I played, like Rainbow Six Siege is a bad example because that game wasn't broken at launch, but people did have a lot of problems with it, and that game got better and is huge now. but I played games like the first Division, and then like it's good, but once they came out with some pretty significant big content updates later on, it became a much better game, and I haven't gone back and played it since it's had those big expansions. But I hear like it's significantly improved the experience, and I enjoyed what I played in the vanilla version, so I can't imagine how good it must be in the updated one. That's why I want to try 76 now, play it more anyways, and then experience this the patch version. But I don't know how I'll be able to get in there, like how much time I'll be able to spend. I've been trying to. I thought I'd be able to get into it more when I beat Red Dead 2, but then I'm still playing a ton of Fortnite. Every time my crew logs in, hop on there, and then there's like so many other things I could still hop into. And the beta for Red Dead Online came out this week. It had the most ridiculous release schedule ever. But yeah, that's going on. I haven't done too much in it. Created a character. Not a big fan of the character creation, because obviously the problem is like it's the old West, like right before the turn of the century, so like your characters always have crappy teeth, and it's like I'm so used to like character creators that are like super involved and you can like do everything, but this is like it's just presets and you can't really do a ton of stuff and your characters don't look that great. But I'm like, oh well. So I made one, but I haven't done a total lot of things in there, but I hear some good stuff about it, and I hear it's running pretty well. I'm curious when the official launch will be, since it's just a beta, but we'll see. And then you went to FanFest, and they showed off. Because when I went to the only FanFest I've been to was for 11, but they had the new jobs, dancer at the time, and whatever job came with dancer, were playable at FanFest. Did they have anything playable at this one for new content?
No, all they had was they just had the trailer for Blue Mage, which was introduced in the most like mind-boggling way possible. Like the president and CEO head of Square Enix came out in a blue cape and was like, hey, here's the new job, I have a video for it. And then he was just there all weekend, and you could just walk down the hall and there was the president and CEO and Square Enix just walking by, and you're like, oh cool, thanks for Blue Mage, by the way. But no, they didn't have it like playable or anything like that. But the only thing they really had was they went into like excruciating detail about what it was going to be and everything during the live letter. But the only thing that they had playable was potentially a peek into the next battle for the next set of Hildebrand quests, which is like the big battle. And I thought was like one of the battle challenges was the fight for that, supposedly.
Now, I heard that there was some scuttlebutt from some people about, from what I understand, they're releasing Blue Mage before the expansion comes out, so people can, in theory, can level it up first.
So, Blue Mage is going to be a weird thing. It's its own class, so that's right. Where they're not releasing it with the expansion. It's called a limited job, and it's basically like a solo experience. So that's why they're releasing it at patch and not with the expansion, because the expansion is supposedly going to have jobs, normal jobs, like be able to level them and go into content, everything like that. But Blue Mage at 4.5, its release is going to be capped at level 50, and then supposedly with each patch it's going to raise its level cap, but there's no telling if by the time 5.0 comes out if it's going to be like level 80, which is the new cap for 5.0, or if it's just going to have to keep catching up, because I even at 5.0's launch, I don't think they're going to integrate it as a normal job.
Yeah, if you have to like use it in a party slot and be like, oh, it's effective.
Yeah, so the only way that you can get it in like raids and stuff like that is if you make a preformed party.
Yeah,
because you can get Blue Mage skills from like Shiva and supposedly the other primals and stuff, but you can't blind queue into Duty Finder with it, because they specifically said the problem is you have to go and get the skills, and they don't want people getting like alienated or yelled at or kicked out of parties because they don't have like a specific spell that they've been trying to get or something like that. So you can make a party with friends, or you can make a whole party of blue mages and go in and do stuff, but you can only go in with pre-made parties.
See how it goes. I know my
cousin's, I'm gonna play it, it looks fun.
Yeah, my cousin's excited about the focus on dark.
Oh yeah, is he a dark main?
Yeah, he tries to be, but I guess he talks about how like Dark Knight really isn't the best right now in endgame. Like no one chooses dark over any of the jobs because everybody does the min maxing so insanely in the game.
So yeah, it's hard to get a Dark Knight main in like endgame content. You really have to have a party that's like, okay, well you're a Dark Knight main, because I think the world first for Ultimate Bahamut had a Dark Knight tank, and people were like, oh, well, what's your secret? Why do you play it? Is there a reason that you chose Dark over everything? And the person was like, Dark Knight's fun.
Yeah.
My party just lets me be a Dark Knight. I don't know what you want. So
yeah. Yeah, that was always my problem, I felt like, with the... I mean, you saw that in 11 as well. Like, the whole...
Yeah.
That min-max culture of the... And the... You always want to have the... Like, they always had those Black Mage burn only kind of thing, and you know, that aspect of the community always bugged me. Like, I can understand if you're like, you know, if you're hardcore about farming some endgame stuff and you had that hardcore group, then you'll obviously have, you know, the jobs leveled that you know will be the best for situation, and you'll be able to lot accordingly. But yeah, then it's like in 14 it felt like it was even more so, but especially because there's not as many nuanced jobs like there was 11, because it's just three roles. It's damage, tank, and healer. But yeah, he'll be excited. I did go back and I watched, like, for whatever reason, I watched someone, I forget her name, but she had like this breakdown of the story, and I watched all of, oh my God, I'm blanking on the name, Dragon, Heavensward. And then I watched that and all of, see, it was all of Heavensward, and what else did I watch? Because I think it was basically just that, and then because it was all of Heavensward, and then the point one and point two story expansions or whatever it was. And then I was going to watch, was it called Stormblood? Stormblood, yeah. But someone didn't have a full recap of Stormblood. They only had like the leading up to the most recent expansions coming out. So it was like point two and point three. They didn't cover all of like the Stormblood story. So like,
well, it's not done yet. So
well, typically like, because this person would be like, here's the at 4.0, you know, or not 4.0, whatever the 0.0 version is. It's like there's a story. Oh,
like the launch story.
Yeah, and then they'll do like, okay, here's the point one and point two stories, and then here's the point three. Like they keep updating. Like that's how they did it. And I was gonna watch it, but when I was watching the Heavensward one, I was like, and then I'm like this story. It's like seeing it, like it would obviously being spread out over hours and hours of playtime, but like seeing it all bunched up together, I was like, this story seems kind of ridiculous.
There's even playing it. After a while, you're like, this is absolutely asinine what is happening right now. So
yeah. And then they're like, oh yeah, and then these warriors come up and they're Warriors of Dark, and I'm like, but are so in Heavensward, are those Warriors of Dark supposed to be the same NPCs from the trailers, like the CG trailers?
No, they're from a parallel universe.
Okay, so they're just from a parallel universe who look exactly like those trailer characters.
Because the thing is, they're supposed to be the same thing as happening across different worlds or realities or whatever. And in their reality, they fucked up.
Yeah, because they
so
when you
they became the Warriors of Darkness, so they did it wrong. So they came to this world, I can't remember, to try to like save it or to try to like warn against it or something like
yeah,
that. And just like the Warrior of Light was like, you're wrong and we're right. We're here to fix your reality.
Yeah, that's because I remember they do say, because when they go to, was it Heidelin? Is that her name, the crystal?
Yeah.
Yeah, when they got in and they're going to be, I guess, taken back to their world, he tells the main character, like, hey, or the player character, like, don't screw up. Yeah. Don't make our mistakes. But, like,
which
the way
that... kind of cool, because, like, now we think that there's a bunch of speculation saying that that's what's happening in Shadowbringers, is, like, we didn't heed the warning or we didn't understand it, so now we're fucking up and pushing our world closer and closer into darkness because we're actually doing too much good, and so it's going to ruin the balance and stuff like that. So that's why we have to be the Warrior of Darkness now. So it's like really cool that it's kind of supposedly going to loop around on itself.
So could they potentially, now there wasn't necessarily time travel involved, just parallel universe jumping?
Yeah.
Okay, so when they went back to theirs, it's like Trunks in Dragon Ball. It's like he doesn't go back to an earlier time, he just goes back to his timeline, which is still fucked up. So they just went back. Okay.
Pretty much. They're going back with Heidelin, which is supposed, I think, now in Minfilia's body, to try to fix their reality.
Hmm. Okay.
Because in their reality or their like universe or whatever, Heidelin is gone. So they're taking Minfilia with Heidelin's power, supposedly, to fix what they're doing.
Hmm. Interesting. All right. Curious. Well, maybe if someone posts a full-on Stormblood story thing, I might watch it. But just to get the recap, see what I've been missing. Yeah, because I doubt I'll ever get back into the game. Even though there are times where I want to. I almost downloaded it the other day. I was like, you know, I'll go ahead and update it, get it ready, just because. Didn't do that.
They're adding trust system, so you could do the trust system and get NPCs and be able to do the story like that.
Oh, nice. So I can just run with NPCs through dungeons then.
Yeah, so you could basically play by yourself just with NPCs with you. Because it's like I don't know if you know the trust system they added to 11. It's basically that, where you can go, you earn an NPC to summon or to go do stuff with you. And then supposedly only certain ones can appear in certain dungeons, but you'll be able to play the game with NPCs if you can only play solo, if you only want to play solo, supposedly.
Now, can you play with a full party of NPCs?
Yeah.
Okay. So yeah, because I thought because I think Flash was still playing 11 when they introduced that, and it because I remember him mentioning it, and I was like, oh, it's just like Guild Wars, because in the original Guild Wars, you could just, when you were in the main town, you can just hire NPCs who were level locked to that particular town, so you can only go so far in the regions with those NPCs before they became kind of useless. But you can just, if you, I mean, the difference in Guild Wars is that you can run the entire thing solo. But if you wanted to run in the open world with a, because every world was instanced, you can run out with NPCs. And I was like, oh, that's kind of cool. They have that option for the dungeons. But I'm trying to think of what else. Have you been playing anything new recently?
Pokemon, let's go. That's pretty much all we've been playing in like first time. I play 14 when it's like just me at home, and then usually when it's both of us, we play Pokemon. So
yeah, get home, you're like, bust out the Pokemon.
Yeah. It's super fucking adorable. It's so cute, but we're almost done with it, I think, so that's really sad.
Uh-oh, no good. Well, I'm sure there's gotta be a lot of like, not replay vibe, but like, is there like end game content to Pokemon?
In the newer games there is. I don't know if they added anything into Let's Go, because Let's Go is just a remake of Yellow, except they added an Eevee version. So I'm not really sure. I haven't really looked into it, but I don't know if we'll do much of the end game stuff, because by the time we finish it, the DLC for Assassin's Creed will probably be out, and we might play that.
True. True. Yeah. Yeah, I haven't been playing anything new yet. I have finally started playing some Battlefield 5 once I finished Red Dead, but I haven't played too much of it because once, again, my squad jumps on, then we can play Fortnite. I'm enjoying Battlefield. I'm looking forward to some of the changes they're going to be patching in on the 4th. Just some minor stuff, like some gun balancing and then some minor game mode changes. They haven't listed everything going to be changing, but it's good to see that they're always quick on making patch changes. Although, having played Fortnite for over a year, I was like getting used to how quickly they patch stuff. It's like playing other games where, like, even though this is pretty fast for Battlefield, it's like playing other games, like, man, they're taking forever to get this patch out to do this thing. It's like, I'm so used to Fortnite just being like, hey, here's something new, or here's a change, or they're doing this.
Yeah.
But they only got one mode they have to worry about. Battlefield's got multiple different modes and everything, bigger stuff going on. But yeah, I finished Red Dead a while ago. I would have finished sooner, but I kept stopping because I was playing Fortnite. But that game is really good. It's the slowest burn of anything I've ever experienced.
Yeah, so I hear.
Book, movie, or otherwise. But I enjoyed every minute of it. And then it's one of those things, too, where while... because that was another reason I didn't really stick with it a whole lot in the first couple chapters, because it was so slow. But once you kind of get going and play more of it, you start to retroactively kind of appreciate the slowness. Because it's like Red Dead 2 also is, it's a story focused game. It's just single player through and through. Like, it's, they just want to tell the story. They're telling the story. Like, everything in the game is in service of the story. Which is why I feel like, you know, Mr. buys Madden every year and doesn't play much else, who gets excited about Red Dead, won't like Red Dead, because it's a story-driven game.
Yeah.
It's not a gameplay game. Because, I mean, the gunplay's not necessarily the best. I mean, the Deadeye makes it good in the same way that VATS and Fallout makes the shooting fun. Without VATS, the shooting in Fallout is really garbage. But with the Deadeye in Red Dead, it makes it kind of fun to do. And there's a ton of side content you can do that's fun as well, but everything is in service of the story, so especially the pacing. And it's I have some gripes with it. I've talked about before, one of the things I don't like is the way they interchange the prompts between square and triangle. Traditionally, square is pickup and triangle is search, or triangle is open this drawer or open this lockbox. And triangles jump on your horse. But there's sometimes when you go to pick up something and to interact, instead of hitting square, which you get so used to, you have to hit triangle. And I'm like, why did you change up on me? I was like, I don't understand.
I hate that.
Yeah, it doesn't happen a ton, but when it happens, it stands out. And I'm like, why are you doing this? another problem I had, too, was like, I mean, spoilers, well, light, super light spoilers, but everybody who played the first Red Dead could expect this. But there's an epilogue, and which is fine. The first game had an epilogue. That was really cool. That was the first time I've ever seen a game have an epilogue like Red Dead's was. I'd never experienced before. And so I assumed, this is clearly going to have one. My problem was there wasn't enough downtime between the end of the main game and the epilogue to let you really, like, your emotions, like, relax and for you to breathe. Because it's like, depending on what happened, like, there's a couple different endings you can get depending on a choice. There's a choice you can make, and then, like, at the end, and then there's also if you played good or bad through the whole game. And so I get this ending, and I'm like, and I got super attached to the character of Arthur Morgan, and it's just like, because there's so many good characters in the game, man. Seeing, like, because I remember playing the first Red Dead, and it's like, I just kind of played it. I didn't really play it for, like, I didn't pay attention too much to the story. That's why I thought it was weird that year when it's like, it was getting so much praise for, like, Game of the Year. I was like, it was good, but I was like, I wish I can kind of go back, because I think it was, what, 2011? See what else I was playing. Well, maybe it wasn't 2011. Oh, it might have been. I don't know. But Uncharted 3 would have come out at the same time. Maybe it was 2009. I don't know, 10. Whatever. But like, and then I didn't have enough time to breathe after the ending. And then when it goes into the epilogue is also very slow at the start. And it's like, and that drove me crazy, because I was like, I got so used to the speed from the end of the main campaign, mm-hmm. and the epilogue was slow, but it made sense because of what they were trying to tell. And like I said, once it was done, but I did have a problem with that. I was like, man, I wish you just could have left me alone for a bit. And, the one thing that's crazy about Red Dead 2, though, is that you have this, like, giant map, huge open world, but then the game also includes the top half of the original game's map in the game, like, just need, like, because the original game was, like, this whole area called New Austin. You're in the state of New Austin, and then there's a river between it and Mexico. And you can just explore the entirety of New Austin, but you can't get to Mexico. Like, I think someone glitched their way over to Mexico, but, like, the entire thing. Now, it's not nearly as populated as the main map area, for some obvious reasons, because the original game wasn't that populated. And then there's also, like, a flu going around some of the main towns, so the people that would traditionally be there aren't there. But it just crazy me. I was like, it kind of reminded me of Metal Gear Solid 4 when you go back to Shadow Moses, and you just experience these sections. They added new sections because you could take different routes through Shadow Moses, but just experiencing those areas again was really cool, and kind of seeing this other area was pretty neat. Being like, damn, that's crazy that it includes like half of the first game's map just with it.
Yeah.
it's like you did a remaster. Which makes me wonder if they could do like a full-on Red Dead remaster just using Red Dead 2, which they totally could. I mean, John Marston's there. They got him. It's like, there you go. Just that would be awesome if they did something like that, just as some DLC. But yeah, that game is great. Just great characters. Also, it's crazy how little pop-in there was in that game. Like, playing, coming off Assassin's Creed, I'd always like notice some pop-in. A big thing too in games is always like the shadow pop-in, or the sweep that the shadows as they load in for the detail. Mm-hmm. But yeah, in Red Dead there was stretches in that game where it's like there is, like, I expected, it's like, oh, the trees will probably change, because trees are usually pretty obvious as the LOD loads in, or like bushes on the grass. But like I was running around the open world and just looking for stuff that would pop in. It's like, there's hardly anything. Now, there are some sections where it's like, okay, random little bushes are popping in on the main road, but it was infrequent. Like, I was surprised how much, like, there was no pop in when I was playing. Which then reminds me, so I was what was I doing? I was having some problems with my TV where sometimes it was recent. It was happening where it was like, if I switch over to something that has HDR, like Netflix or Battlefield or something else, you know, I don't know if your TV does the same kind of thing, but it goes to black. That pops up, says HDR on, and then it reloads the game because it's changing the signal. It gets the HDR signal, so the TV has to switch over to HDR mode. And it would just go straight back to, you know, whatever content it is. I had this problem where it was like it would go HDR on, but then it wouldn't load to the content and it would lose signal. And the only way to get it back is to I'd have to close the application. Luckily, I know how to navigate the quick menu. So I close the app, it switches back to SDR, and then the TV receives the signal again, and then it works. And it was happening kind of randomly. I didn't have any on Netflix, had me once on Red Dead and on Battlefield, and I was like, what is going on? I couldn't figure it out. So I Googled it, and like, you know, having this problem, blah, blah. Someone's like, oh, you have to make sure you're on 4K, this, like, YUV, whatever color code setting for HDR. And then I'll fix it, because if you don't, it doesn't, this version of your TV doesn't recognize the other color feeds. It's like, oh, okay, so that must be the problem. Cut back to, like, 2 weeks prior, I'm watching Daredevil Season 3. Rest in peace. And
yeah,
I'm watching, I'm like, this looks good. I'm like, but this doesn't look like it's in 4K. So I Netflix, I hit the option buttons, and it's like, yep, 1080p. I was like, that's so weird. It has HDR. Why did they drop 4K? I mean, it doesn't say 4K in the banner information, but I'm like, I could have swore I watched the first season or something in 4K. I was like, oh, whatever. I guess budget cuts, they didn't film in 4K. And then when I watched Castlevania, I went on there like, well, that's not going to be 4K because that's an animation thing. It's only going to be 1080p. But it was throwing me off because I could tell what I was watching on Daredevil wasn't 4K. Even though there's a scene that looked really good, it's like, this doesn't feel like it's in high def or higher def, I guess, ultra HD. So cut back to this HDR issue, and they go, oh, you got to make sure you're on 4K, Y, blah, 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 code setting. I go into my PS4. I go to display settings. I look at the output settings, 1080p. And I'm like, motherfucker. I had, because when Red Dead came out, Digital Foundry did their analysis of it. And they were talking about performance. And they were talking about how some of the stuff on the PS4 Pro version looked slightly better when you played the game in 1080p mode, because it would still do like that super sampling. Like it was very minor stuff, but I thought I'd give it a try, because one of the problems I had in the beginning was Red Dead stuff in the distance looked kind of fuzzy on PS4 Pro, where it didn't on the Xbox One X because it had a little bit better draw distance. So I tried this, and I tried it for a night, and I went the next day, talked to my cousin about it. I was like, yeah, when I get home, I'm going to change it back to take it off the Force 1080p and just put it back on 4K. I never did that.
Oh, shit.
So I've been experiencing content for the past 3 weeks that wasn't in 4K if it had that option. And it's like, I was like, damn, I watched all of Daredevil Season 3 in 1080p. I could have been watching that in 4K. But luckily, it's like, at least Red Dead, I think it only does like a 1440p or something like that. So it's not, and it's dynamic resolution, so it didn't really matter. And I don't think I played anything else at the time that has 4K, so I wouldn't have noticed, but that was at least a couple matches on Battlefield I didn't play in the scaled up resolution. But yeah, I was like, I was so bummed. I was like, god damn it.
But rip in pieces.
At least I saw my problem, because this is when I put it back to automatic, then I never have the HDR problem anymore. But yeah, I was like, I'm just glad that at least I noticed I wasn't watching one piece of content in 4K. But it shows that you can tell the difference. But yeah, Red Dead, really good. I definitely say play it, but it's definitely a slow game. I almost thought, like, I won't replay this because I spent so much time on it. Like, it came out at the start of November, right? The end of October? I think it was the end of October. So I've been playing essentially the entire month of November slowly, except near the end when I just, that was basically all I played. Mm-hmm. I was like, I don't want to replay it. I played it once. I experienced it. I'm good. It's like Journey. Like I didn't want to replay Journey because I experienced Journey. It's like the emotional thing. You don't want to go through it again. Like I didn't replay Last of Us until way later.
Yeah.
But I think I kind of want to go back and replay it just so I can experience the first couple chapters, which are a better appreciation for what they're doing and the characters. Because goddamn, there's some great characters in that game. There's this I forget the name of the tribe. There's like this Native American tribe you deal with, and the Eagle Flies and Rains Fall are the two characters, the father and son, and they're great characters. Just their storyline. God, it's a great game. Pretty much it. I mean, I haven't played much else, and I kind of wish there was more news. But we'll have next weekend tons of stuff from Game Awards, and then also the kind of funny showcase that's happening.
Oh yeah,
because that'll be the Saturday. I think that goes up the same time we record. So if anything does get announced, we won't see it. If there's an announcement, I don't think there's going to be announcements. It's just going to be new footage of stuff. Maybe if we see something pop up, I'll keep like the feed open on Twitter or something. So I see something new that is new to be talked about, I'll bring it up. But all right. Well, I got to bounce. It's now 12, so that'll be the end of the podcast. So thank you all for tuning in and listening. Thank you, Zaya, for joining.
Yep.
And we will see you all next time.
Bye.